Let's pray. Father, as we open up our word this morning, I just pray that you would continue to mold and shape us through your indwelling spirit, through the power of your sanctification. I pray that you would speak to us in our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And it's hard to believe, but this will be our final message on Hebrews. I got to looking back, and we started Hebrews on March the 8th of 2015. And so nearly 4 years. And so let's read, starting in verse 22 through 25, the final words of Hebrews. "And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. For I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen." And as we look at these final words, I want to focus on one particular phrase in verse 22 this morning, which is, "Bear with my word of exhortation." As we think about exhortation, the King James Version for the word "bear" uses the word "suffer." So it's, "Bear with my word of exhortation," or "suffer in my exhortation." This idea of exhortation is something that is rare today in the modern church. A lot of pulpits don't do a lot of exhorting these days. In my opinion, pulpits have become way too soft because they do not want to offend anyone. And as the Bible says, that in latter times we will have people that raise up for themselves pastors that will scratch their ears. We, I believe, have that in our country today. And the church has forgotten that one of its jobs is to exhort. And so today we're going to look biblically at this idea of exhorting and what that word means and what we're to do. Paul, in writing young Timothy, on a couple of occasions, told him to do the job of exhortation. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it starts off and says this, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." So here we see in Paul's first letter to Timothy, this encouragement to have a ministry of exhortation. You also see it in the second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where Paul writes, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in teaching." Why is there a call to exhortation? And the answer is that when we exhort, when pulpits exhort, coupled with the power of the Word of God, God is at work in the hearts and minds of the congregation. You see that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it reads, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In my over 20 years of ministry, I have heard people say things like this to me. Pastor, you must have been reading my mail when you preached that sermon this Sunday. Pastor, that sermon was meant especially for me. Pastor, that sermon really convicted me. Why is that? Is it because I'm a clairvoyant? No, that's not the reason why. The reason is why, when the Word of God is presented, the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word does the work. It's just my job to present the Word. And when the Word is presented, when the pastor stands in the pulpit and exhorts the Word of God, the Word of God does the work in the hearts and minds of the people. It's one reason why we preach verse by verse. You may be offended by what I'm talking about on one particular Sunday, but I didn't pick that verse. You just happened to come on that Sunday when that verse was being preached. If you're convicted by that, tell it to Jesus. It's not my problem. It is the power of God working in your life as you hear the Word of God. I remember one time years ago, I was criticized by a visitor. They said they really didn't like to come and listen to me preach because I read too much scripture in my sermons. You know, the power of God doesn't lie in poems or funny stories, but the power of God lies in the exhortation of the Word of God. Sunday morning worship hour always needs to be centered upon the Word of God, because that's where people's lives are changed. New York Times yesterday had an article that was basically an interview where they questioned a famous Christian apologist. And unfortunately, in that interview, and I was shocked by this, but the apologist said that he did not believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. And this is very concerning to me, because here we have this clear mandate that we should exhort. And as we look at two basic claims in the Bible has to be correct, because the Bible tells us that God cannot lie and that the Word of God is true. God cannot lie, and the Word of God is true. His Word is perfect. And in fact, Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof." What's reproof? That's exhorting. "For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." There's power in that. And the Word of God is true, and the Word of God is the tool in which the pastor uses to exhort the congregation. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." As we come together and as we worship together and as the Word of God is exhorted, something happens in the life of the believer, and we know who God is and we know who we are, and we're continually challenged to live a life that Christ has called us to live. It is foolish for us to think that if we watered down our beliefs that somehow unbelievers would have this epiphany in which they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's impossible. The Word of God should never be watered down. We shouldn't meet people halfway, because they, apart from God, can't even understand the things of God, because Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." Let me read that again. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The only way that we know the things of God is by having the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. And as the Word of God is taught and preached, the Spirit works inside of us. And it is impossible for us to dilute the Word of God and have people accept God through a watered-down gospel. We need to be bold in our pronouncements of the truth of God. It reminds me of what Paul said in Romans 1, starting in the 15th verse. It says, "So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." As the pastor stands and as he proclaims the truth of God transcends race, it transcends culture, it transcends fashion. The Word of God works when it is exhorted from the pulpit. And the problem is, we don't have enough of that in our country anymore. But in addition to the pastor exhorting, you and I as believers, if you're a lay person this morning, you are called to exhort. It's just not the pastor's job to exhort. It's all of our jobs to exhort. We're told to exhort one another. In Hebrews 10, starting in verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Part of the job of believers is to come together and exhort one another. I've told the story before of when I was in college and I was not attending church on a regular basis. And the first Sunday back of my sophomore year, I went to church. The second Sunday I missed. My Sunday school teacher called me and he said, "Were you sick?" "No, I wasn't sick." "Were you visiting parents?" "No, I wasn't visiting parents." He said, "Well, if I made the commitment to teach the class, I need for you to make the commitment to be in the class." He exhorted me, didn't he? I was exhorted. But let me tell you what happened. Because someone took the risk, because exhorting isn't easy, is it? He took the risk and he picked up the phone and he called me and he said, "You should be here. You don't have an excuse. You should be here." And because he did that, my life went back to attending church on a regular basis, and it changed my life. I was exhorted. We are to exhort one another. We're to teach one another. We're to bring up perhaps difficult topics and say, "You know, you might want to take a look at this scripturally." It's the job of the church, but unfortunately we live in a politically correct world where everybody sits there silently and they say, well, I don't think I can really say that. And then we wonder, think about this, then we wonder why we don't see God at work as much as we used to. We don't see God at work as much as we used to because people sit in pews and they are silent. If people would stand up in our culture, in society, and say, I believe this as a Christian, this is the bedrock of my faith, we would see God at work because we are His mouth, we are His hands, we are His feet. And unfortunately, the church right now is too silent in their pronouncements of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only in society, but also in church. We are to be an exhorting people. Now, he tells us that we are to bear with exhortation. We're to bear. Have you ever been around somebody who was unbearable? We all have, haven't we? We don't want to be that person, but we've been around people that were unbearable. That word bear means it's not easy, right? He says, bear with my exhortation. That perhaps difficult things are being taught or being preached. We're to bear with exhortation. Or as I mentioned earlier with the King James, we are to suffer through it. It's the pastor's job. I remember years ago I had someone after church said, you know, I really don't like a lot of your sermons. I said, okay, well, why do you not like my sermons? He goes, well, after you preach, I don't feel good. And I said, well, great, I'm doing my job. That's not the pastor's job. The pastor's job is to exhort. Even as we exhort each other as lay people, exhortation isn't an easy thing. It's difficult. Think about this. If you exhort, perhaps you are putting a relationship at risk. Now, this is the thing that I have learned over my years of preaching. When I first started out and I was a young pastor, I would hold back on exhorting when I saw someone doing something they weren't supposed to be doing, because I thought that if I continued to be patient with them, that I would continue to engage them in a relationship. What I have found is that if I don't exhort, that the outcome is the same. If I want a different outcome, if I want an outcome that lines up with the teaching and truth of Christ, the only way that that can happen is if I exhort according to the Word of God and let God do the work. Now, they may get mad, and they may leave. And in fact, one time I exhorted, and guess what? They left. But what is our end game? Is our end game that people sit in a pew and are somehow comfortable, even though they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing? Or is our end game their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you exhort, they may not recognize it right now. You may put a relationship at risk and they may get mad. But maybe one day the Word does the work in their life and they say, that was a correct word of exhortation to me. The game, my friend, is eternal. It's not right now. And exhortation is difficult. And enduring exhortation is difficult. And I'm going to give you a couple of reasons for this. The first one is that if you exhort, there is a possibility that the person that you are exhorting to, if you will, is living a life of sin. and they are being deceived by their sin. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We can deceive ourselves when we are in sin that we're living okay. And I'll give you a great biblical example of this as we look at the life of David. And we see that he had committed adultery. He committed murder. And Nathan is standing in front of him and he's giving his parable. And David is so delusional and he is so deceived by his sin, he doesn't even recognize that the parable is about him. And Nathan looks at him and says, "Thou art the man." He was deceived in his own sin. And sometimes bearing exhortation is difficult because we are deceived about who we are. We're deceived about who we are, where we are. Not only is bearing exhortation difficult because of potential sin in our life, but we can also be deceived in our own walk. Turn with me to James 1, starting in verse 22. As James writes, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You can be deceived in your progress in your walk of Christianity. You may think that you're exactly where you're supposed to be, and unless the pastor stands up, unless teachers stand up and exhort, you're never challenged to look at yourself and judge yourself on where you are within your walk. I remember years ago that Kathy and I took an anniversary trip for our wedding anniversary, and we went down to Padre Island and we rented some horses, and Kathy was taking pictures and got back and got the pictures developed, and I was flipping through the pictures, and it was a picture from Kathy was behind me, and I said, "Who's the big guy on the horse?" The big guy was me. And she said, "Monty, that's you." And the reason why I'm telling you this story is that I didn't see myself like that. And over the years, what I ended up doing there at the end, and this has a spiritual application, I assure you, I ended up buying a calendar at the beginning of the year. And every day for 2 years, I got on a scale and I wrote my weight down in that calendar. Because I was forced to deal with the reality at hand. My life changed because I dealt with that reality by getting on the scale every day and taking a pen and writing down, on this particular day, this is what I weighed. Now, the reason why I bring that up is exhortation. When the Word of God is exhorted properly in the pulpit or in a Bible study class or on a Wednesday night, when the Word of God is exhorted properly, the reality of who you are and who God is presented to you in a plain fashion, and you are confronted with this idea of, am I going to change my life to look more like Christ, or am I going to continue a life of delusion? That's why exhorting is important. Exhorting is, if you will, you getting on the scale. It's truth time. And we need it. And we just don't need it on a Sunday. We need it every day. And if you'll make a commitment to pick up your Word every single day and say, I'm going to spend time in the Word of God, let the Word of God exhort you in your life so you can examine yourselves. We're told to do that scripturally, examine ourselves. And if we will look at the Word of God and examine ourselves and say, am I the man or woman of God that I need to be? Let the Word do the work. Come to church on a regular basis. Let the Word do the work. Come to church on Wednesday night. Let the Word do the work. God is at work through exhortation. Think about some of the titles of God. He's the refiner's fire. He is the vine dresser. All of this is done not through some intellectual exercise. It's all done through Bible reading, through preaching, through teaching. And it's never pleasant. It's never pleasant. We're told that if we are in the vine, that we are pruned. I would imagine if I was a plant, I would not want to be pruned. It's not pleasant. Refiner's fire is he burns off the dross. It's not pleasant. But the results are beautiful. Malachi 3, verse 2 says this, but who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. My friends, it's only through exhortation, it's only through pruning, it's only through refining do we find ourselves the people of God that He wants us to be. Will you join me in prayer? Father, I just pray this morning that we would bear with exhortation. I pray, Lord, that we would be students of the Word and evaluate our lives in light of Your Scripture. That You would work through us through Your Spirit. That You'd change us. I pray, Lord, for our country and I pray, Lord, for our churches that men would stand boldly and proclaim Your truth. I pray for individual Christians that we would be bold in our pronouncements of the truth. I pray that our church would encourage and exhort one another so that we truly might be brothers and sisters in Christ based upon Your Word and Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.